There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it.
There you go.
With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. This is podcast number 1101, June 30th, 2025, Stephen.
This is F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads bring you the F1Weekly.com website for the ads that interest you. From Danica's tantrums to Danny's smiles, Yahoo Ads give you the stuff you really want. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steve. On today's program, McLaren dominate Austria with Norris winning over Piastri. Antonelli takes out Max Verstappen in the first lap. Without Max, this was indeed a boring race. And yes, the host has seen the F1 movie. And of course, more classic Nasser Hamid. We have our favorite photographer, Peter Nygaard of Denmark, with his thoughts with Nasser Hamid. And yes, early stuff. I have George Russell and Max Verstappen in the early days. These guys have been fighting for years and years and years. And yes, we do need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. So, wow, first of all, qualifying, Liam Lawson out-qualifies Max Verstappen. You know there's a problem at Red Bull when that's going on. But I'm glad Liam is finally getting his act together. And the Ferraris look strong, obviously. Norris had it all weekend long. Piastri struggling maybe a hair and couldn't beat Norris this weekend. And, of course, Red Bull completely out of it with Max qualifying seventh. Couldn't put it together. No magic like we had seen in Japan or Imola. So a big bummer for Max because we know Tsunoda is not going to be doing very much of anything except gathering penalties and hitting people. That's his new modus operandi. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. An interesting race. Carlos stalls. Let me put it this way. Williams just had nothing but bad karma all weekend long. And it's two steps forward and six steps backwards for Williams. I'm not sure what's going on. But they do need to, as Carlos said, regroup because they wind up with a double DNF with Albon out in early parts of the Grand Prix. But the race was tight. The start was good. If Antonelli had not missed his breaking point and plowed into the back of Max Verstappen, which really did take a lot of excitement out of the race. I mean, when we're talking about Bortoleto getting points, you know, we are lacking in machismo-ness. And I'm sure Norris and Piastri were so happy to get rid of Max because then all they had to do was keep Ferrari at bay, which was facile. I mean, this was an easy task for them. Ferrari slowly fell back 6 seconds, 7 seconds, 8 seconds, and McLaren had this in the bag. So a little disappointing. I thought Red Bull home Grand Prix, a lot of people from the Orange Army from Holland are there supporting Mr. Max. And of course, these days, you never know how long Max is going to stay in Formula One. He's already got another license for another series. And obviously, I just don't see Red Bull turning anything around. And Max being knocked out in the first lap, I mean, he's really out of the race. And the race for the Drivers' Championship. There's just no way McLaren is going to lose this. It's between their drivers now, and it's going to go on. I think Piastri will take it, but Norris definitely a calmer and cooler driver in Austria. Fernando, you know, he continues to out-qualify Stroll. It's classic. Stroll out in Q1. Fernando makes it to Q3. But the big changes in 2026 and from the dreary face that we saw of Leclerc when he reported back from driving the 2026 cars in the simulator. Apparently, it's not a fun car to drive. It sucks. And it's just not going to be a pleasant year for anybody in 2026, except for the team that dominates. Now, there's no secrets. Toto Wolff wants Max because he needs that extra edge to get back to fighting for championships with the 2026 car. Max brings more than 6 tenths. Max brings maybe a full second. So I can see him going to Mercedes, but right now Max is sort of relaxing. He has a child, he's married, and he's calmer and wiser. He may just stick with Red Bull instead of going to anybody. Now, the other talk of the town, now George Russell is still not signed for Mercedes. He could possibly fill that strange void that's at Aston Martin. That is Lawrence Stroll's young Jimmy Clark. Lance Stroll is never going to add up to a hill of beans. We know next year is going to be a struggle for everybody. Whoever lucks out with the Mercedes package could be dominating next year, and it could be McLaren again because they seem to have their act together. Their seamless dynamics of being mature, well-organized engineering group at McLaren is really taking it to Ferrari, because once a year we all hope Ferrari is going to win, and they don't. And of course, Lewis Hamilton is happy they had an upgrade. They did finish third and fourth. So there is hope. But Mercedes occasionally is quick in qualifying. But these hot, hot days, and as we go into global warming, could continue for years. So, you know, maybe we should change our philosophy towards tires, setup, tire management, because that is becoming tiresome as well. But there you have it. When Max is out, we all lose a little something in the Grand Prix. Yuki Tsunoda gets penalties. Antonelli gets a grid penalty for the next race because of his taking out of Max Verstappen. And Piastri did try a few times. It was a little entertaining, but he does not have the Max factor in his blood. And so it was civilized, but not very productive. And there you have it. A wonderful day in Austria. The hills are alive with the sound of F1. Now, let's move on to the Formula One movie, the F1 movie, Brad Pitt. Does anybody ever remember Driven? Remember Driven? Well, Sylvester Stallone comes in. He was a washed-up driver looking for another chance. Went to IndyCar. He was wearing a Williams hat. He chucked it and put on an IndyCar hat. And that was the beginning of Williams and the story of Driven, starring Sylvester Stallone, which turned out to be a crazy and scary movie that bombed. Now, The F1 movie, on the other hand, did have similarities to Grand Prix with James Garner. The token drivers and people from the F1 world in the background, the cameos, the terrible plot that was very Hollywood. But in the end, Grand Prix was a great movie simply by the cinematography, the vintage cars, Monaco, the focus, the start in Monaco. Very, very exciting. Here, we start with Daytona 24 Hours, which explained a lot because I knew Pitt was spotted with his crew at Daytona, and I couldn't put the two together, but obviously now I do. But I think it's a good movie. I think it's entertaining. I think everybody should stop crying. This is Hollywood. They need to make money. And it's Brad Pitt. That's what he does. He acts. He pretends. And Sonny Hayes, I thought, was okay. Not the greatest acting job I've ever seen, but it was good enough for me and Bobby McGee. So, go see the movie. If you can, see it in IMAX because the sound effects are good. It's stuff that these cars really don't make those kinds of sounds unless somebody's recording in high Dolby definition. But I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. I thought Sonny was hilarious. We have un momento of sexual innuendos. And I even thought it was funny that the female racing engineer had an accent similar to Bernie, who works for Sky TV, the former Aston Martin strategic engineer for racing. So it was a very good movie. I enjoyed it. Please go eat the popcorn and enjoy Sonny Hayes. It was funny, but at least you get to see Ration on the big screen. So for me, that was a plus to see Formula One on the big screen. I'd like to go see Grand Prix again, re-released for the big screen in a new digital high Dolby sound way. So that would be very nice. But anyway, there you have it. Max out. Piastri and Norris will be fighting for the Drivers' Championship for the rest of the season. We do have some classic races coming up. We got Spa, Francorchamps, we have Monza, and the tracks that Max really, really loves to drive on. So there you have it. That's my tip of the week. Go see the movie. Enjoy the movie. Eat junk food when you're watching the movie. You'll enjoy it as much as I did. Now, yes, McLaren has this in the bag for the rest of the season. It's all about points now, dollars, millions and millions of dollars, and the disappointment from Lewis Hamilton. I know he thought he'd be winning his eighth championship this season. It's just not going to pan out. But with the new changes next year, by the time we get to Las Vegas, all thinking and focus will be on the 2026 car. There will be no more upgrades. The upgrades are going to end very, very, very soon. And we will be left with McLaren dominating and everybody else following. The best part for me is the strides and performance that Sauber made in the past few months has been phenomenal. Haas is falling backwards. Fernando is still Fernando, but it's just hard to watch. I would much prefer that he was retiring and we had only young whippersnappers next season, but that isn't the case. We've got to watch Lewis and Fernando struggle in these new 2026 cars, and we're going to see which part of the young generation adapt to the new 2026 cars. And with Fernando and Lewis confirmed for next year, we will get to see the vintage guys adapting to these new rules. And I'm telling you, old people do not adapt well. I don't care what vitamins you're taking. It's genetically impossible. So this is the big chance for the Antonellis, the Bortolettos, to really shine. Liam Lawson finally picking up the pace. And why Are the racing bulls so much better than Red Bull? Should Max say, forget this, I'm going to Toro Rosso because it could be a better car? I don't know. Max needs the package or he's going to bail. He could just bail on F1 completely. Going to another team might not be that exciting, especially the German team. It's very Achtung schnell, Wasserschloss, go baby go. I don't know. He's a family man now. It's a tough call. And I think George going to Aston Martin is a good idea. British guy, very British team, based in Silverstone. It's perfect. Everybody wants to feel at home. But don't get me wrong, I thought Toto has done a fantastic job with Mercedes. He's definitely the billionaire's billionaire. And he agreed to do a cameo in the movie at the end. It was cute, where Max Verstappen refused. Apparently there was supposed to be a bar fight between Sonny Hayes and Max Verstappen. Obviously, there would have been a double, but that would have been glorious. I wish Max would have volunteered for that because it would have been a perfect episode. Many scenes were cut out because he didn't agree with that. So, a little disappointed with Max, but I understand he doesn't want to be part of that frou-frou lifestyle. He's a real racer where, and I understand that Brad Pitt tested the McLaren at COTA, and now he feels that he could have been a contender. You know the type. Yeah, I could have been a contender. So we got Pitt, we got Max, and apparently we're not going to see those two get together anytime soon, unless we get the movie about Red Bull, Max Verstappen, the phenomenon, and Christian Horner's segment will be played by an older, more suave Brad Pitt. So the future is promising great movies on Formula One. So I'm loving it. I also suggest everybody go get your Sylvester Stallone copy of Driven, because then you realize what a really crappy movie is, and you'll appreciate the F1 movie that much more. So anyway, I tip my hat to Brad Pitt. Good job. I thought it was entertaining. Down to the van, the 72 Econoline four-wheel drive van, which is definitely a custom. Great choice, Brad. I like it. So anyway, I want everybody to enjoy. We have three interviews today. We're going to the Nasser Hamid corner, and yes, indeed. Like I said, we have Peter Nygaard, which Nasser worked with for many years, getting photographs for his calendar. And of course, we have a young George Russell and Max Verstappen. Extremely competitive. Great conversations. Enjoy, and don't forget, Nasser, I think about you every day.
So here's a report from Peter Nygaard of Denmark, and he was at the first preseason test session. And he has also kindly agreed to do a monthly report with us when he comes back from races. So we're going to have a lot of juices flowing at F1 Weekly.
And I'm going to be writing a lot of zeros, I have a funny feeling.
Yeah, sure. That's why they're going to reopen Lincoln Savings. So please enjoy this conversation, and we'll be back after this chat.
Okay, folks, on the line is Mr. Peter Nygaard from Denmark, boss man of Grand Prix Photo, and an old friend of F1 Weekly. Peter, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today, sir?
Thank you. I'm very well. Springtime has come to Denmark, so there's a bit of sunshine today.
Yeah. Oh, so is the snow all gone?
Yeah, it's gone. Hopefully until December, but we never know here. Could be back next week.
Yeah, you never know. Okay, now you have just returned from the first preseason test. First question I have is, are the cars really as ugly as they seem to be on when you look at magazines and on the web?
I don't think they're ugly, they're just different. And I'm sure two or three races from now, we will all be used to them. Remember, was it in 96, 97, when they suddenly had this narrow cars, 20 centimeters more narrow than earlier, and everybody said this looked crazy. And after three races, They look like the most beautiful cars in the world. Formula One cars are beautiful, and we'll just have to get used to these.
Yes, and does the McLaren really stand out because they did not go with this funky nose?
It does stand out because it's different, but I would not say it's more beautiful. The McLaren is always beautiful. It has a fantastic livery. The Vodafone orange and silver is fantastic, but I think it's a nice car, but the others are not ugly, not at all.
Can any conclusion be drawn from the first session? Who is quick or what's going to happen this season, or is it too early?
I think Red Bull will be quick. No surprise there. And I think Ferrari will also be there eventually. They had a bit of a strange test in Jerez, really, because it seemed they had lots of problems in the first 2 days. Then Fernando comes into car for the last 2 days, and they produce, I think, best time of the day on the penultimate day. So I think they will be there as well. McLaren, as always, also. And, of course, Mercedes only raced or tested the old car, which was the fastest of all the cars, but that was because it ran in the old configuration, so that was not surprising. I look forward to see the new Mercedes in the Barcelona test this week.
Now, it's hard to believe that in 2 years of motor racing, Michael Schumacher, there was a time when finishing second or third was a bad day for him, and in the past 2 seasons, no podiums, but he has caught up a little bit to Nico Rosberg. Can we see the old Michael this year?
I think in some areas we do see the old Michael. If you talk aggressive driving style, it's still the old Michael. If you talk hard work, it's still the old Michael. I'm really not sure what is lacking. Okay, he's approaching his mid-40s now. Maybe physical condition is not as it used to be. Not that he doesn't train, but I mean, it gets harder to get into peak condition at his age. And he still seems very, very hungry. He still seems very, very happy in the car. And don't forget that Nico Rosberg is actually a very good driver. And as far as I can see, Michael is equal to Nico now. And also, I think Michael is improving more than Nico is at the moment. So don't underestimate Michael this year.
No, I never did. Actually, I'm surprised that he did not pounce on Nico from day one. But, you know, we shall see. And, of course, we want to see very good racing. Now, two guys are new in Renault or whatever they're called, Lotus, Kimi Raikkonen and Romain Grosjean. Kimi, is he talking second time around or is it the same old, I'm not going to talk to anybody?
It seems to be the old Kimi. He's not very interested in the media. And that's fine. As long as he's fast on the track, that's not a problem. If he's not fast on the track, it will be a problem. And I'm not really sure how this will come off. 2 years ago, he was bored with Formula One. Now he's bored with rallying. And remember, when he left Formula One, he was still fighting for wins. Now, as far as I can see, this year, his best shot will be fighting for, say, fifth place, sixth place. And how long he will keep his interest and his focus under these conditions, I'm not really sure. Or maybe he surprised all of us. He's still a fantastic driver, car control second to none. He will be one of the more interesting drivers to follow this year.
Yeah, you know, there's an interesting comparison in that team. Romain Grosjean, you know, has won a championship in every series he has been up until Formula One. How do you think he will stack up against Kimi?
That will be very interesting. To begin with, I think Kimi will have the advantage because he's the more experienced driver. Okay, he's been out of Formula One for 2 years, but he's more experienced. He has more racecraft, I think. I think Kimi will have the advantage to begin with. But then, a little later in the season, I can see Kimi lose interest, frankly. And then Grosjean will probably or could develop into the number one driver at the Lotus. And I think he's ready for that. I think Grosjean was a little bit unfortunate that he made his Formula One debut 3 years ago too early. He was not ready for that. And he came into a team which was not perhaps ready to support a newcomer. Now it's different. He's more experienced. He's more clever. So Grosjean could be one of the big surprises this year.
Now, I read somewhere that Lewis Hamilton and Pussycat Doll went to a concert in Northern Ireland. Was there any sighting of Nicole around the testing venue?
No, we didn't see her, but we saw pictures of her and Lewis in LA, actually. So maybe they're back together. Good for them. Maybe not so good for losers' prospects for the season. I don't know.
How do you think he will stack up against Jenson Button this year?
Jenson, for me, Jenson was the star of last season. Jenson to beat Lewis was incredible, and it was not that Lewis was doing a bad job. Lewis was doing a decent job most of the time and a fantastic job in some races, but Jenson was still as fast or faster than him, and that was a big surprise. Remember, Jenson has been in Formula One for, is it 14 years now, and still he made a bit of a breakthrough last year. So Jenson is maybe the number one McLaren driver these days, and Lewis is not happy about that. There's still a good relationship between the two McLaren drivers, but I think that's mainly down to Jenson being more mature, grown up, and I'm not so sure Lewis will be happy if he loses out to Jenson again this year.
Was there any inside news, scuttlebuttle, rumors floating around the test session that you can share with us?
No, not really. It was very early days. All the cars were brand new. And one thing which was fairly interesting was the reliability of the new cars. We had very few red flags, which just goes to prove that Formula One cars these days are incredibly reliable and very strong, even just out of the box.
Now, I have a off-the-track question for you, if you could give us some feedback on it, please. This Adrian Sutil, Eric Slack situation in Shanghai, nothing really came out as to what triggered this confrontation. Do you know anything you can share with us? What was said that made Sutil so mad?
There are all sort of rumors about that. I don't really know what is facts and what is fiction, but it's unfortunate that Sutil is not driving this year, because he did a brilliant job last year. I think he's taking some time away from racing now, maybe to refocus on his career. And he deserves another chance. Like Grosjean, some drivers are just unlucky to lose their place in Formula One, and then they deserve a second chance. It's difficult to break into Formula One for the first time. It's even more difficult, or almost impossible, the second time. But I hope Sutil will make it.
Okay, talking of unlucky drivers, one of them is your fellow countryman and good friend of yours, Jan Magnussen. His son, Kevin, has done a tremendous job, and now he's in World Series by Renault. Is all of Denmark hoping that he will be the first Danish Grand Prix winner?
Yeah, and it's not unlikely, is it? He's doing a brilliant job in, as you said, Formula 3 in the last 2 years, and now he's into the Renault World Series. And also last week it was confirmed that he will be a McLaren test driver this year, doing a lot of simulation work in Woking, and also taking part in the young driver test at the end of the year, probably in Abu Dhabi. That is great news for us here in Denmark. And yes, he's only 19, isn't he?
No, he's very good. And, you know, he won the same number of races as Felipe Nasr, who won the championship. So great for all these young talent. Okay, great. I really appreciate your feedback. And we hopefully will talk to you after the first two races next month, get a post-race update. Anything else you want to tell us that may be of interest to listeners of F1 Weekly?
No, I just think we should all look forward to a fantastic season. Last year was a great season as far as I could see. It had a lot of very close races, a lot of overtaking. Okay, we had a world champion already in, was it October, five races from the end of the year. But still, the individual races were very good. And I think I would prefer any time to have 20 interesting races and maybe the world champion crowned a little bit early, instead of what we had previously, a very exciting end of the season, but some races which were maybe not so interesting. This year, I think we could have both. We could have all the races, very close racing, very interesting, and a championship decider in Brazil.
Peter, let me ask you a question. I get emails from our listeners every now and then, especially those who have never been to a Formula One race, asking what race I would recommend. Of course, I'm very partial. My favorite track is Monza. I always say Monza. But you've been to all these races. You've been going for 20-plus years. What would be top two choices that you would recommend for somebody attending their first Formula One race?
Oh, I agree with you, Nasser. Monza is fantastic. The atmosphere, the history, everything is incredible. The racing is also very good at Monza always. So Monza is definitely on top of the list. Spa-Francorchamps in Belgium is also great. It's another of the classic circuits, and you can go there, bring your raincoat, but you will have a fantastic weekend of racing. So those two are the two of the classics. And I look forward to Austin.
Yeah, me too, and I certainly hope it takes place, and it'll be great to have a Formula One screaming cars in the U.S. again.
Yeah, I think the United States really should be in the World Championship, and one race this year, 2 years next year, that's fine.
I tell you what, the New Jersey race, that's going to be mega success, just like Singapore, because of the location, and you know, it's just going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that one also.
And New Jersey is Bruce Springsteen country, remember?
Oh, yeah. Greetings from Asbury Park.
Exactly.
Well, we all know you're a big Bruce Springsteen fan. What's your favorite song from him?
The new one is fantastic. We take care of our own. It's out on the official album, I think, next week. It's incredible. I will go to New York. Actually, I'll go to New Jersey in May to the concert.
Oh, yeah, he's doing a concert in May. You'll be there.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peter, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. So anyway, let's go right into the wrap-up, because we're going to start out with Nasser Hamid. He's got a post-interview statement.
Well, it's not a statement. It's very exciting news, and I'm going to tell you something.
Very exciting news.
You know,
there
is no such thing as only game in town. Okay, today news came out that McLaren has brought another driver under their wings, Mr. Tom Blomqvist, whose papa was a World Rally Champion, and Tom is a very talented kid. 2 years ago in Formula Renault UK, he won the championship as a 15, 16-year-old against quite a few established and experienced drivers in that series. Then he went to German F3, won a race, and they had an accident, so he was out for a while. And I have not heard his plans for the season, but it should be announced soon. But this is great news for you, for McLaren, and of course for him, very talented. Now here is the deal. There is a young kid, Nick de Vries from Holland, two-time youngest. He's on the Sebastian Vettel program. Youngest karting world champion, youngest double karting world champion. He's with McLaren and Kevin Magnussen. So in 2 years' time, they will have at least one or two drivers ready to replace whoever they want to blow out at McLaren. And that's the beauty of motor racing. You cannot rest on your laurels. Yeah, exactly. The heat is always on. And this kid is very good. And it's very interesting, you know, how these things are happening. World Series by Renault, you have Jules Bianchi, who was twice third in GP2, has now gone into World Series Renault. So on paper, based on his talent, which is very good, based on his experience, which is quite extensive by now, 2 years in F3 Euro Series and Formula Renault, winning everywhere, he really has to deliver, and on paper he should. But then we have Alexander Rossi, second year in World Series by Renault, if he takes this route. And then you have Kevin Magnussen, and then you have Will Stevens, who's pretty talented. And this kid, you know, a lot of people may not know him because he raced in Germany, from New Zealand, Richie Stanaway. He had a very dominating season in F3 Germania. I will not be surprised if he is like the cage rattler of the World Series by Renault. And GP2, we have the same situation, a lot of talent. And you mentioned GP3, the kid who had the fastest time on, you know, second session of second Aaron. Day. Otto Vainio, he is under the...
Pardonnez-moi.
Yeah, of course. He is under the management of Nicolas Tard. So obviously Nicolas Tard's assistant is our friend Olivier Menu. And we've done a digital dialogue with Otto before, so hopefully this time we'll do a Skype chat. So a lot of exciting things are happening, and stay tuned to your favorite podcast.
Introduce our interviewee, Mr. Max Verstappen.
Get the Max. We're not talking Kragen. We're talking Max Verstappen. This kid, man, father was a European karting champion. Mother, Sophie Kumpen, was a karting champion. And when she won the championship, I read, she beat names like Jarno Trulli and Giorgio Pantano, which is very, very impressive. Okay. And then, of course, Papa went to Formula One and has been in the news now and then. And Max is definitely one of the hottest young karting drivers in the world right now. And this conversation took place in Vegas, where he was there for the SCUSA National. A great event, and I had a great time there. And Vegas is not a bad city to visit, by the way. And I talked to Jos also, Jos the boss, a little bit. And he said the goal is to keep him in karting one more year, which would be 2013, and then bring him to motor racing. So my thanks to Max Verstappen, my thanks to Mr. James Trumpur for taking photographs and helping me out. And of course, many thanks to Max for his time. Please enjoy.
Okay, folks, I'm in Las Vegas with the next up-and-coming star from the Netherlands, Mr. Max Verstappen. Max, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good today. We are starting on pole, so we will see in the final what we can do.
Okay. How much are you enjoying Vegas so far?
Yeah, it's just really cool to be here and to have a race here as well. Just nice place.
Have you been to the US before?
Yeah, one or two times. One time a race in New Jersey and one time for a holiday.
Okay. Now, Mom and Dad were both karting champions. Did you ever think of becoming anything other than a racing driver?
No, mainly from like when I was 3-4 years old. I grew up with go-karts, so it was just normal. I went to go-karts as well.
Your dad raced in Formula One. What is the best advice you have ever received from him regarding racing?
He just have a lot of experience, so he knows what can happen, and he explains me already like when I started at 4 years old, so it helps me.
Do you listen to him?
Yeah. Now it's getting more difficult, but I still listen to him.
Okay, good. You started the season with Intrepid Cards, and now you are racing Zanardi Cards. What led to change of teams?
In the beginning, also last year, Intrepid did a really good job in KF. That's why we made a decision to go there. But when we went there after a few races, we could see they had not enough money to continue, and he had some problems also with Praga. And I think it was better to go back to where I started.
Okay. Now, apart from Papa, who do you admire among Formula One drivers, past or present?
Alonso. I like Alonso because he doesn't have the best car, but he can still, like, when he qualified 7 or 8, he can still be on the podium.
Very true. Okay, some years ago in Zuera, Spain, you won the pre-final and the final, and I understand both time you came from the back. So tell us about these two races, please.
It was just a bit tricky conditions as well because it rained a little bit in pre-final. It was a hard fight with like 4 or 5 drivers in the top. At the end, I could just stay in front, so that was good to win already the pre-final, also for the championship back then. And the final, the first few laps, I dropped back a lot. I think we had a little too low pressure in the beginning, but at the end, they start to fight again for the lead, and I could catch up and win.
Okay, you know, we all make mistakes in life. If you make a mistake in racing, or if you don't do well, does Jos, the boss, yell at you?
A little, but I think you need. I think at the end, you come out stronger.
Okay. Your favorite track in karting?
For me, it's La Conca, Sarno, and I think these are the two best tracks.
Among the drivers you have raced against, who do you think are very good competitors or good challengers?
I think my teammate Tiene, Felice Tiene, I think he's a good guy. He also has a lot of experience. And when you race with him, he knows what he does.
Okay. How does school fit in your racing life, and what is your favorite subject?
I don't really have a favorite subject, but I do private school, so when I arrive home I can go to someone and teach me private. So now it's getting better. Before, when I was still on a normal school, it was not possible to do it.
When can we expect you in single seaters?
For sure next year I do one more year karting, and I think the year after I go to kart.
Okay. Is Daddy pretty much managing your career?
A little, but we're also talking with new people, and we will see what comes.
Okay, I'm sure Formula One is your focus and goal. Do you follow American racing scene like IndyCars and NASCAR?
Not as much, because it's also not so much on TV in Holland, but Yeah, it's just fun to watch, but I concentrate more on Formula One.
Now, tell us about Max Verstappen, the young man, not the race car driver. What kind of food you like? What other sports you enjoy? And, you know, what's your hobby apart from motorsports?
Apart, I would like to do, you know, like mini bikes I like, but now it's getting more difficult because, you know, every time I have, I put in go-karts. So, yeah, it's more go-karts, and before it was mini bike.
Okay. Our program, we have a podcast which is listened by people all over the world, including your country. How about a message to everybody? Tell them about your website in English and Dutch, please.
Please follow www@verstappen.nl. I think, you know, the people also there, they put a lot of effort in the website to keep it updated for me, so I appreciate that a lot.
How about in your language?
Volg alsjeblieft www.verstappen.nl en volg mijn resultaten.
Okay, thank you very much. Nice meeting you. Okay, all the best.
You too. Thank you.
Max, thanks for another wonderful moment with F1Weekly.com. Anyway, so now we're going to go into a little forum activity, and I'm going to read the results of the F1 Weekly Forum Race Prediction Competition, Nasser. And after that, we'll do the 50 words on the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Really?
Yeah. We're pumped up today. Anyway, now the season has ended, so two has the Forum Prediction Competition. It was close right up to the end, and unlike the on-track competition, any one of five or six people could have taken this championship. We had 18 forum members take part this year, and thanks to all of them for keeping up the entries, and a special thanks to Iceman for keeping me on my toes, posting his entries with a few seconds to spare. All you had to do was predict the pole, podium, fastest lap, and 10th place. Easy, you think? Well, in more than half the races, some were unable to score anything. And in Barcelona, only 5 of the 18 scored at all. I think this is a reflection of what an unpredictable season we've just witnessed. So the final podium looks like this. In 3rd place is the forum's spreadsheet guru, Chemix, with 73 points. Second goes to the man from Munster, Kahesin, with 81 points. And on top of the podium is our resident Cougar expert, Leon Bray, with 82 points. Congratulations, Leon, for sticking through and taking the overall win. Congratulations also goes to Chemix for the highest individual race score of 21 for the Indian Grand Prix, which was a fastest lap away from a perfect prediction. There were too many nil points to hand out any wooden spoons for ducks, but at some stage during the season, everyone scored a highest, except Raythump, so if there is a wooden spoon, Dave takes it. On average, the highest scoring race was India, with a mean score of 7.78. And surprisingly, the second highest was the United States of America on 7.72. The lowest scoring race was Barcelona, averaging 0.5. But then I guess no one saw that pole and win coming. I hope everyone enjoyed playing. Come visit us on the forum. That's from Pita, also known as Yay. Okay, now, Nass, we're going to take turns, and we're going to read 50 words on the beautiful and final race of the 2012 season, Brazil. I'll begin from Miguel. An exciting end to an exciting season. Spins and spills, rain and tears, a safety caution, and a PK on the podium. Brazil pulled out all the stops to bring the season to a great close. In the end, the best finger won. Hülkenberg almost created a surprise, and Alonso took it all with dignity.
Lap traffic. Brazil does not disappoint. Hülkenberg goes from hero to zero in a heartbeat. Alonso does everything he can possibly do, including paying off Senna to take out Vettel on lap 1, but it is not enough. Vettel will not be denied his place in history. Here's hoping that Ferrari can figure out how to make a decent car next year and Red Bull can get the competition it deserves.
Leon Bray, a great way to end the season. Hopefully the young guys will learn to stop running into other cars. Looks like Nasser was right about Hulkenberg.
Ratcham is on the Kimi Raikkonen program. Very economical with words. Fantastic.
Ye says, OMG, LOL, WTF, LOL, OMG, OMG, LOL, WTF, 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 OMG, LOL, WTF.
Beautiful. Devo, this race is best watched at 2x the speed with Benny Hill music in the background, especially on board with Kimi. What a climax.
From Chemix, Kimi says, leave me alone. I know where I'm go. Oh, shit.
Jackson, my prayers for a set puncture went unanswered.
Ye says, I forgot to add ROTFL for lap 55.
Great. Ledford, Kimi Raikkonen 10th. It was a busy race and we didn't have the pace we wanted all the time. There was certainly a lot going on. I went off at the last corner on lap 52 as I couldn't see well with my visor being dirty and fogged up. Where I went off, you can get back on the track by going through the support race pit lane, but you have to go through a gate. I know this as I did the same thing in 2001 and the gate was open that year. Somebody closed it this time. Next year, I'll make sure it's open again. Now, this looks like a comment from Kimi after 3 or 4 races. Way too long.
Lap Traffic says, Kimi was trying to use one of those Mario Kart shortcuts Bernie was proposing a few years ago. And there you have it. An outstanding set of comments from the forum. The forum is always exciting. Of course, now it will go into hibernation a little bit because people are dealing with the holidays and other activities. But like you said, we have Dakar coming up. We've got Daytona. We've got the beginning of the NASCAR season. We've got reruns. We can watch old film, Lap of the Gods. And we've got some great shows on Velocity, Renaissance Man with Alan Decadene, so on and so forth, Nasser.
Yeah, and what we will do in the remaining weeks of this year, we'll do a sort of like a not only the championship review, but a champions review also. Talk about a little bit about different drivers and major, you know, things happening in GP2, GP3, World Series by Renault. A lot of talent coming through. So we'll try to keep this thing exciting.
Absolutely. And we do recommend everybody to go to the forum and write 50 words on the entire season. So that way we will be reading those at the end of the season on the podcast. And of course, now Nasser wants to talk about, I thought he was telling me that I'm square, but I'm finally realized.
No, I know you're straight.
That he wants to talk about the calendar.
Yes, sir.
Faded Glory, Nas. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Thanks to Toby for putting this up, updating the websites on it. And the theme is Faded Glory. Great tribute to teams of the past. We have Jackie Stewart on the cover. Beautiful Tyrrell car from Österreichring. One of my old favorite tracks from Austria. Then we have Arrows and Cooper and Van Wall. Van Wall was the first Constructors World Champion. As always, a lot of puns with the captions, but a lot of factful, interesting information about this kind of stuff. And we have Shadow and you know, many other teams. So it's check it out on F1 Weekly.
Absolutely. It's going to be exciting. And if you flip through the pages really fast, it's actually me running. So it's pretty good stuff, but you really have to squint your eyes to see that. It's tough. But anyway, it's an outstanding calendar. I've already got 16 of them up in my bathroom simply as air fresheners because the pictures look so good. It freshens the air. So thank you, Nas. And of course, all you have to do is either email you if you don't have a PayPal account and you could work out something with Nasser, or you just go to the merchandise page and click on the cart button at the bottom of the page. Motorsports Mondial with the Swami, the King, Abdul himself, Nasser Hamid, and we've got a special interview with George Russell. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Nice to see you're so excited. It must be that email we both received from Steve Fopp today.
Exactly. Nice to see him missing us, wishing that he was back in the studio, but that's the way it is. Once you're gone, the door is shut.
Oh, wow. We don't have a Willie Horton revolving door?
No, not here, Nasser. Not here. But, wow. You know, I had a dream that Fernando was world champion.
Oh, not again. Not again.
What's going on here? I just can't get it out of my mind. But no, I was wrong. We have the Race of Champions coming up, and it's all Vettel this, Vettel that, Vettel this.
Schumacher this, Schumacher that.
Yeah, you know, yeah, the Germans are going to fight to the death. Nasser, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mundial. And as the globe continues to spin, we are now at the stage of an interview
with
Mr. George Russell.
George Russell, man, another young Brit headed for big time in motor racing. And I was going to go and do some write-up on him, but then I went to his website. And if you go to his website, which I suggest you do, a pretty nice website, it's www.georgerussellracing.com. And I got to tell you, man, this is what young drivers should go and see before they start spending $1 million of daddy's money. You will see nothing but championship victories in karting every year since 2008. This year, he became the first driver in junior category to win the European Championship 2 years in a row. Very impressive. Our chit-chat was recorded in Las Vegas, where he won 3 heats and finished second in the final event after starting from pole. And he had won this Scusa event last year. So it's a mega talent from the United Kingdom. And hopefully he will keep moving. And maybe he'll be one of us who will invite us to the Paddock Club for a cup of tea.
That would be nice. That would be nice, Nasser.
It's going to happen with somebody. Who it is, I don't know. But we're going to make that happen.
Okay, folks, I'm in Vegas with King George of karting, George Russell. George, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today, sir?
I'm very good, thanks. And yourself?
Very good, thanks. Your country, England, is the center of motor racing. Please tell us, what sparked your interest in motor racing?
Well, my brother has been racing for a long time before I was 7 years old. This is when I started racing. And I came to a lot of his racing, and I always wanted to be a racing driver. So this is how I got into motorsport.
Okay. Now, I was looking at your website. Very good website, and even more impressive are the credentials. From 2008 to 2012, you have won a championship or two each year. Which one was the easiest, and which one was the hardest?
Well, all of them were very difficult. But there was maybe the cadet championship we did in 2009. We were going into that hoping to win. So that was a less of a surprise when we won. But in 2011, when we won the European Championship, that was a big surprise to us. It was a very good year for us.
Okay. Is your racing talent pure natural racing talent, or have you learned a lot from going to racing school or getting driver coaching?
Well, I think I got better as a driver just by doing more racing, more testing. The more time I did in the seat, I got better and better. So the phrase "practice makes perfect" is definitely true.
Okay. Now, first driver to win back-to-back European Junior Championship, which is very, very impressive, and first driver to win Kart Master Grand Prix in 3 different categories in 3 successive years. Tell us about these championships, please.
Well, the Kart Masters Championship is a big event in the UK. We started off, we won in 2008 in the WTP category, and that was a very good race for us, as it was having a lot of difficulty over the weekend. And also the year after, we did the Coma Cadet category. We also won this, and that was a very good year for us, winning the British Championship and the Open Championship. Then the year after, we moved into Rotax Max, as we were too young to move into Carefree. And we, again, that was a very good year for us. We won the Kart Masters Grand Prix, the British Championship, and the Formula Kart Stars Championship. So this year has probably been, for the number of titles, has been our best year.
When you raced, there's a lot of racing in England, we all know that, but when you first went and raced on a continent, was the level of competition different than in England, or how did you stack up when you initially went there?
Oh, definitely, it was a lot harder. There was a lot more good drivers, and this made it very difficult. Our first couple of races, we struggled a little bit, but we just did more testing, more racing, and we got used to the bigger car, the faster speed, the more grippy tyres. And the more races we did, the best we got. The best of my racecraft was against the drivers. The more the drivers had a little bit more respect for me. So this is how, this is how the first year went.
Talking of good drivers, who are other good drivers that you have raced against that you would recommend to, let's say, a good team owner?
Last year there was a lot of good drivers in Carefree. We had Max Verstappen. He's a very good driver. He's here this weekend. Charles Leclerc. He won. He was my teammate for half the year. He won the World Cup. Dennis Olsen also, he was very strong at every single race. So these three drivers will probably be the best three drivers I've raced against.
And your favourite karting track all over the world?
My favourite track would probably be Sarno in Italy. That's a very good track. And also we've had... we've done quite well there. We've done very well, but had a lot of bad luck there. But as a circuit, it's a very good circuit.
Okay, you've raced in the United States before also. What is your impression of the racing scene in America?
It's very good. There's always a lot of people here, and the competition is very hard, and I really like it, especially this event. This is the second year I've done this now, and I really enjoy it with the whole atmosphere of Las Vegas. The circuit's very good, and being going very close to the walls, so it's a very good circuit for me.
Cool. Who is guiding and managing your career? Are you part of any of the driver development program from managers and teams?
At the moment, we're talking to a couple of people, but it's strictly, I cannot say at the moment, but that'll become public as of January.
Okay, cool. And we will be looking forward to that information. Okay, you were born in Kings Lynn. I think this is also the hometown of Martin Brundle. Do you know him and Alex?
I don't know him. I know of him, but I don't know him in person.
Okay. Now, are there any drivers in Formula One, past or present, that you admire or you look up as, you know, I want to be like this guy?
Fernando Alonso, I look up to a lot as he's shown this year. He's definitely not in the best car. He's proven to be a very good driver, winning races and getting the most out of a car wherever he's been. So this is the person I look up to most in Formula One.
Okay. What is the game plan for next season? Are you staying in karting or dabbling in single-seaters?
Karting next year in KF2. KF, it will be called next year, the senior category. And we're hoping to do 1 year in this, then to move to cars in 2014.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about George Russell, the young man, not the race car driver, your taste in music, food, and do you like cricket?
Do I like cricket? Well, when I was at England, has a lot of sports over there, football, rugby, and I played a lot, and I really enjoyed sports at school. I had to stop because of if I had an injury or anything, just because of the karting. Karting meant most to me. But I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed playing table tennis as well.
Okay. Finally, how about a message to listeners? We have a lot of listeners all over the world and quite a few in UK also.
Well, thanks for talking to me, and I'll be doing my best for this weekend, and I hope to be speaking to you soon.
Thank you very much, sir.
George, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. So anyway, there you have it, Nass. Of course, calendars are being shipped as we speak. Any updates, any points you want to tell the people on why one calendar is just simply not enough?
Well, they can buy one or as many as they like, but it's, again, you know, like previous calendar, it has a different theme. This year is Faded Glory, Great Teams of the Past. We have the V. Scott Sir Jackie Stewart on cover, as we can see here, in a blue Tyrrell. And this cover photo is from one of the most beautiful tracks of all time, Österreichring. And then we have the Warsteiner golden color, gold color Arrows, and we have Brabham in the Martini color, the Metra, the Gitan Ligier, Van Vol. So it's cars from different eras. And as always, a lot of time and effort was involved in coming up with great information. And I want to thank Mr. Peter Brazier on his help this year on this issue. A lot of interesting information, historical facts. So it's more like a, you know, history of motor racing every year for your collection. And we thank you for your support.
Thank NAS. Order a calendar. And thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Brewer. Congratulations to F1 Weekly for 1,000 podcasts.